Welcome to Finish Strong. On this edition, you'll hear the powerful story of a woman who suffered so much physical abuse that she had to be hospitalized. Because of mental abuse, she became a prisoner in her own home. She was frozen with fear as her boyfriend held a gun to her head and told her how he was going to kill her as she was clinging to her baby. How could she forgive a person who put her through so much torture? Our guest today shares an amazing story of how a broken person found peace and freedom through forgiveness and experienced many miracles along the way. If you're someone who struggles with forgiveness, please listen closely to this story. I'm Dan Wheeler, and my co-hosts are Brian Rowland and Terry Steen. Guys, forgiveness can be tough at times, but in this case, it almost seems impossible.
Yeah. Can you imagine? It's just, I've known Jamie for a couple of years now. And when I sat and heard her story for the first time, I had to like take my jaw off the floor. You know, it's amazing. Yeah.
That's a tough one. I mean, I know what you say about forgiveness and because it's always in the back of your mind. Satan wants to keep tapping on you there. He wants to keep.
But if God says, if you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you. Exactly. I mean, it's,
judged how you judge.
We don't have a whole lot of choice, do we?
Right. Well, guys, let's get into it. Terry, since you know our special guest, why don't you introduce her?
Yes. Come on in, Jamie. This is Jamie Black.
Hey,
Jamie, welcome to Finish Strong. Love having you with us. We tried it one other time. It didn't work out, so I'm glad it did this time. We're talking about forgiveness. And as Karen and I were out to have brunch with you and your husband, Kevin, and you started sharing your story, it was like unbelievable. And I was like, we have got to get her on Finish Strong because it's a powerful one. And we know that there's so many people that deal with and fight unforgiveness and all the things that unforgiveness can lead to. So thanks for being here. Jamie goes to her and her husband go to our church. And so we've had a chance to get to know them, be in some of their small groups. And so we've interacted together and had a few meals together. And Jamie's just a great lady. And so let's just jump right into it and kind of hear your story. You early on were a struggling mother with two children, and just take us back to the early times and let's just lay some groundwork as to your spiritual upbringing, where you were with God in this process.
Okay. Yeah. To start off as a young mother, my spiritual walk with God was very limited. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I did have an encounter with the Lord when I was 9 years old, only because the church bus came by our little trailer park and picked up some kids. And I remember going and listening to some fell down on those stories about Noah's Ark and then hearing an altar call. And I felt guilty. I felt ashamed of everything that was happening in my life. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. And so I knew that I was a sinner. And I remember giving my life to the Lord, but not really growing. I didn't get a chance to grow up in church or have a Bible really as I was growing up. So by the time I was 20 years old, the only thing that I had as far as a relationship with the Lord was, is I would say, and now I lay me down to sleep prayer. Like that was my relationship. I said that, and if I died, then at least I could go to heaven. that was where I was with God. Like I said, and I was young and I had, two kids, and that's where I started.
Where were you living at that point?
I was in Seattle, Washington.
Out in Washington. That's right. Yeah. That's right. So to move that forward, in the story you were sharing, you had a boyfriend, and you had a baby with this gentleman, and it was not a good relationship, was it? Was that immediate or shortly after the relationship? Tell us about that. I understand it was a very abusive relationship and he was your father. And I'm assuming fear and anxiety. Just give us the story there. Give us that picture of what you were going through.
So, yeah, I mean, broken people find more broken people. And I was living like the world, looking for love in all the wrong places. And I found what I thought was love. It was an abusive relationship. It started, not real bad, to some put downs and some pushes and some shoves. But of course, it progressed over time until it got to be, extremely abusive.
And even to the point of you had to go to the hospital at some point.
Yeah, well, I got to go to the hospital once. There was multiple times I probably should have went to the hospital, but instead he would just like throw me in the back of a car and say, hey, we're going to go somewhere, and just take me away until my eyes healed up enough that I could see. I mean, it would be because my eyes were so swelled shut, I couldn't see. So I would just wait till I would be somewhat presentable before I could come back.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had, did you have one child at that time, two?
And so when I met him, I'd already had one child. Again, like I said, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I met him when I was actually pregnant with my first one.
Okay.
And then, so I had had her and then stayed with him. And then we had the second child. And of course, when I had his child is when the abuse just went off the rails.
Yeah, yeah. And, physical abuse is one thing, but sometimes the mental and the emotional abuse can be almost worse, can't it?
It is.
And that was a big part of what you were going through as well. Share some of that, as far as you mentioned to me, basically being a prisoner in your own home.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they think of domestic violence, they think about the broken bones, but it's really about broken souls. That's mm-hmm. really what they're trying to do, is break you down in who you are. And I was completely, completely broken, to the point to where he had cut me off from every relationship, every person, and literally kept me inside the house where I wasn't allowed out of the house without him. Took away phones. I mean, I had no outside communication, so I was a prisoner in my home. So when you think about, I could have left, but I couldn't have left because I was so broken down. I mean, you could put tape on the outside of the door so he would know if I opened the door.
My goodness.
I actually have opened the door and left. Yes. I was so broken down. I thought I was trapped.
Man. Yeah. Wow.
Well, I understand, Jamie, that one way to get out was looking for a Bible, that you were trying to find a Bible, and that he wouldn't allow that either.
Right. Yeah.
How did that happen? You got your Bible.
Yeah. He didn't want me to have anything to do with God. He wanted to be God in my life. But I had gotten so desperate that I remember I just started calling out to God. You know, I didn't know if God would hear me, if he would listen to me, but he was the only one that I could talk to. Hmm. So I remember just calling out, and I thought, I just need a Bible. I need to know you. And shortly after praying that, a couple of days later, my boyfriend had actually told me to go take the trash out, and I lived in the upstairs apartment. So I knew what that meant. If I was unsupervised, I had to like run there and run back. And so I ran down the stairs with the trash. And as soon as I got to the dumpster at the apartments, there was a Good News Bible sitting on top of the dumpster.
Wow.
So I knew that was for me. I grabbed it. I hid it underneath my shirt, ran back up to the house, went to the, like I was going to go change the baby, stuffed it in the diapers because he would have never looked there, and waited for him to leave the next day. I began to read that Bible every morning. I didn't know where to start. I started the New Testament in Matthew. And so by the time I had gotten all the way through to the point of the crucifixion, I realized at that point that Jesus had died for me.
Wow.
And, I didn't have to die. He died for me.
Amen. Amen.
That's when my relationship really changed with the Lord.
Wow. For God to open that door for you to get that Bible miraculously and begin the journey that you needed, because you needed the strength from him for the steps that were ahead, didn't you?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. This sounds like the movie Sleeping with the Enemy, only you have a happier ending, obviously.
Yeah. Yes.
So what was the final straw that made you finally take action?
Okay, so you kind of alluded to a little bit in the front, and it just like what Terry has just said, over reading my Bible and praying and getting to know the Lord and really experiencing the Holy Spirit, I did begin to find a strength and a hope, thinking, I can actually get out of this.
Yeah.
There is hope for me. I am worth it. And so between that and then just, I could feel everything just really escalating. And that night, I really had made that decision. I have got to get out of here. So what had happened was me and my boyfriend were fighting and over, I have no idea what. And he went back into the bedroom. My daughter was already put to sleep in her bedroom. And I went out to the front room to go feed our infant. And when I went out there to go feed him, my boyfriend came out of the bedroom. He grabbed a nine millimeter gun, sat there and loaded it in front of me. So I knew it was loaded. And then he sat there and he put it on the temple of my head. And for two hours, he told me how I better not get any blood, any of my worthless blood all over his son when I died. He started going into graphic detail of what he was going to do with my body, what his plan was. So at this point, I knew it was no longer threats because he had threatened to kill me before, but he had actually had a well-thought plan, told me what he was going to do with the kids. And I believed him that this was what he was going to do. And I just remember sitting there, and it had to have been the peace of God that not only kept my baby asleep, that he didn't move, but I stayed there just frozen, trying not to do anything that would cause him to pull that trigger. And eventually he did. He just got mad and hit me upside the head with the gun and walked out. But at that point I knew, okay, God, if you get me out of this, I will give you my whole life. And
wow.
He did. He did got me out of it.
So what was the next step? How did you begin to kind of escape to your new life with Christ? What did that look like?
Well, yeah, it was a whirlwind of God just opening up opportunities, the right time for me to escape, people along the way who helped me. And then I ended up in Texas with, you know, just some great church people who had helped me along. I got baptized. I did get some help from the crisis center because I needed, you know, restraining orders and different things. And I remember that they had even tried to do some mental counseling and things with me. They said my state when I arrived there was, I had so much PTSD that I was just like a person of a prisoner of war. I had the same mindset of somebody who had been a prisoner of war. I really talked to people. I was always looking over my shoulder. I was living in that fear and anxiety. But I just kept pressing on with God because that was the only place that I felt safe, that I felt any kind of peace. And the Holy Spirit just kept holding me during that whole time and wooing me back and strengthening me.
So just real quickly, how did you escape? Did he go to work or something or leave you alone? Did you just take off?
Yeah, he did. He went to work and I ended up just grabbing a trash bag, threw some clothes in there and was going to walk out the door. I ended up getting scared and calling the police and that was a whole nother issue. Okay. But they told me that I should go get a restraining order. So I went down to the courthouse and got a restraining order and I was afraid because one of the officers had actually told me if I leave that they would charge me with kidnapping. And
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And yeah. I said, well, you know, I don't know what to do. And she said, where are you going to go? I said, my parents in Texas. She goes, honey, you can go on vacation anytime you want. So that was, you know, but I just made lots of little ways all the way through. Yeah.
So you mentioned being filled with fear. You must have just been gripped by fear for a long time. How long did it take before that began to dissipate?
Wow. I don't know. The first month was really, really rough. Like I said, just always looking over my shoulder. But I don't know, as I just kept pressing on with God and going to church and letting him fill me, that really made a huge difference in prayer. Prayer was huge. He had one of the first things I know, I couldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for God, just keep wooing me to him and to talk to him and then impressing upon me to actually forgive Anthony, which sounds crazy because you're like, why would you ask me to do this? I'm the one that's hurt, you know? But because God is wiser than we are and smarter than we are, he knew that that was absolutely essential for my healing process, for me to begin to heal.
It sounds like you really matured in the Lord quickly, just reading your Bible and pouring in and pressing in. So, I mean, without God, this would have been impossible. It's obviously a miracle. Now, did your former boyfriend eventually find you?
He did. He did. At first he called, it was his lawyer who called, and his lawyer would call and harass and say I was an unfit mother and they were going to take my children away. And when that didn't work to get me to come back, the lawyer quit calling, but I think that's how the abuser had found me. So he would call and he would harass me. Sometimes he would try to use the same intimidation tactics that he had before. Sometimes he would try to do the sweet talking thing that they do. And, you know, I would just be like, Anthony, I don't want to talk to you. Don't call me. I want to talk to you. But during this process, I was fighting with God where he was telling me to pray for this man. And I was telling God, I don't want to pray for this man. I don't want to pray for him. But, you know, based on your asking me to, I'm going to. And I remember just I would grit my teeth and my fists and be like, okay, God, it was not pretty. It did not seem sincere. It was not easy. And I wrestled with God, but he just kept prompting me to do it. And over that is how I began to get free. Like without that, I would never have gotten free. And eventually it really did become a sincere, like God softened my heart to where I actually did want no harm for him. You know, I didn't want to back into my life because forgiveness does not mean reconciliation always.
Right. True. Good point.
It doesn't mean that it was okay. It didn't mean that it was being swept under the rug or, you know, that I deserved it. None of those things. But it just meant that I was free and that he no longer owed me anything.
Right.
Yeah. I was just going to ask you about, because this is really the meat of where we're going here, is this forgiving process and what you went through. And you've just stepped into it beautifully. In that it's all God. Yeah. You didn't want to do it within yourself. You struggled to even say the words. But it's also interesting that he allowed your boyfriend, former boyfriend, to find you and for you to maintain relationship because he had a purpose down the road for that as well. But you, in this process, allowed God to soften your heart. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes a broken life and begins to put it back together, begins to give more strength, more power. And take us on through that as to what happened as you reconnected, that you had opportunity with him to speak further, and where God took you along that path.
Yes. So yeah, God, you know, just continued to work and heal me. And as I let go of thinking that my boyfriend was the one that owed me something and put him in God's hands and allowed God to fill me for what I need, because no matter how much, even if he would have groveled or would have asked for forgiveness, he could never repay the way God could fix me.
Yeah.
Nothing he could have done to fix my brokenness. He didn't even ask it. He actually had called one of the times and I had told him, you know, as he was talking, and like I said, he was trying to do this little sweet talking thing. And I said, Anthony, you know, I forgive you. And he didn't think he did anything wrong. He didn't think he forgave me anything.
Wow. Really?
And I
said, that makes it harder yet, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I said,
good grief.
And I said, and Jesus would forgive you if you would ask him. And he said, God would never forgive me for what I've done. And I said, oh, yes, he would. He's forgiven me. He'll forgive you. And I said, if you want, I'll lead you in a prayer. And
he prayed
the prayer with me. We talked for a few minutes. He got off the phone. And then that was the last time that I spoke to him. But the next phone call that I got regarding him was actually from a friend of ours, and they had said that he'd been up snowboarding, and he went out of bounds, went off a cliff, fell into a ravine, broke his neck, and died of hypothermia.
And what was the time frame on that from when you had talked with him last?
2 months.
2 months.
Wow. 2 months. Wow. And that's what hits me so much about the story. Not only what I know God has done with me and what he, like, I would not be talking to you right now if I didn't forgive. I would still be reliving the bitterness and the anger, and yeah, I wouldn't have been set free. But the part that hits me the most is we don't understand the power of forgiveness. Is that I think about, what if I didn't forgive him? Sure, in the beginning, I was like, yeah, I wanted him to go to hell. But if I didn't forgive him, would anybody have reached him? Would anyone been able to have reached him?
Yeah.
Would anyone ever have shared Christ with him? You know, he's a broken person. Yeah. You know, hurting people, hurt people, broken people, break people. It's, you know, he was a hurting person that just needed Jesus. We all do. And no matter what we've done, we all need that same forgiveness, and we all, you know, deserve it if we'll take it. And so we can't hold on to it. We can't hold on to unforgiveness. It's not easy. It's not easy. I'm not, don't think this is like, oh, I just went through all these months and all this. It was ugly, guys. It was really ugly. And it was a final, like I had to keep doing it. But I just think about, what if I didn't? What if I didn't?
Yeah.
Right. And you said it was about 2 months period between the time of his conversion and his accident. You don't know, and who knows how many people he reached or he talked to and was able to tell what happened in his life. Yeah. So this may have just bloomed out of that
too. We'll never know until we get to heaven.
Right. But he's going to be there.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. That is fantastic.
Well, Jamie, if we have a few minutes left, share what you think somebody needs to hear if they're dealing and fighting with unforgiveness. And then could you just go into a short prayer with them to encourage them before we let you go?
I would say, forgiveness can feel like a dirty word sometimes. It can feel like it's something that you don't want to do. It feels hard. It feels ugly. It feels unfair to say, I have to forgive. But God doesn't do it to hurt you, to torture you, he's doing it because he wants to set you free.
Right.
Forgiveness is all about setting us free, setting others free, keeping our relationship open between us and the Lord. We don't need to hold on to offenses no matter what it takes.
Yeah.
It's not easy. And so I understand that. I get it. It's not hard. I don't know your story. Your story may not be my story, but it hurts. Whatever happened hurt. And I'm here to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that hurt you. But God can make up for it. Maybe you're even mad at God, but just trust him and release that anger, release that bitterness, and just trust him, because he can fill you up and redeem things the way that you could never imagine.
Amen.
He's a whole big picture of what God has for you. So don't keep yourself in that bondage. Don't keep yourself tied to that bitterness, that hurt, that wound, that story. Move on and allow God to work in your life. That's what I would say.
That's great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Would you lead us in prayer for those that are having trouble with forgiveness?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Father, so much, God. I thank you that you help us. You not only ask us to do things, but Lord, you show us the way. It doesn't have to feel good. It doesn't have to feel right. It doesn't even have to feel sincere when we start it, Lord. We just want to be obedient to you and trust you, Lord. We want to lay all of our hurts in our bitterness and our pain, and we just want to lay it at your feet, Lord. We want to release the people who have hurt us, and just help us, Holy Spirit. Help us to do that. Hold our hand. Walk us through it. Lord, you know each of our stories, Lord. You've kept every tear in a bottle, Lord. Nothing is wasted, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are close to us, and just help us walk through this walk and set us free. Let us be set free, and let us set others free, Lord, knowing that we don't want to hold, we don't want to demand payment anymore from anybody. Lord, mm-hmm. you paid it all, and we accept your payment, and we just lay all of our pain at your feet, Lord. And we just ask you to work in these situations, work in the lives of other people, work in our own heart, Lord. Forgive us where we have not forgiven ourselves, where we have not forgiven you, Lord. Wherever there's unforgiveness, Lord, just help us to let it go, Lord. And we trust you, and we just thank you so much for your glory, Lord. And I can't wait to hear all the wonderful stories that come from people just letting go and setting free and just trusting you, Lord God. Can't wait till we're all in heaven together to tell mm-hmm. all your wonderful works, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us and for paying the ultimate price, Lord. We just mm-hmm. love you and honor you and bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Terry, you're right. Excellent interview. Jamie, hang tight backstage, okay? We're going to kind of wrap things up here, but wow, thank you.
What a story.
Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Jamie. Wow. You did great.
Yeah. So we'll kind of let Jamie go there, but wow, what a story, guys.
You know, I listened to that, and it really, you think, what does it take to forgive somebody after something like that? Because, you know, just the little things that we want to hold on to that we're not supposed to. And something so traumatic like that, and they have to live through that. And when their kids had to see this happen too,
yeah,
you know, I never got to talk to her about that, but it's just amazing. Yeah. And where God, he does the amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, we have things that come up. Somebody might say something that offends us.
Right.
And we get upset. You have all these family issues that you hear about, these families that are broken just because of words.
Yeah.
And they can't forgive. Yeah. So the devil, he uses that many times.
Yeah. Well, think about Jamie the next time you struggle with forgiveness. And know, if you don't forgive, then God cannot forgive you. He's very clear about that in Scripture. Guys, this was a great edition of Finish Strong. Mm-hmm. And we need to finish strong throughout our life by forgiving. The power of forgiveness. Well, thank you so much. Yes.
This is a good one for people to share. And to let people know how to reach it over on YouTube and that, because this is the type of program that there's more people out there hurting on this subject than we realize. Yeah.
All right. We're going to wrap things up. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next time on Finish Strong. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Finish Strong. For more information about Finish Strong and Fearless Faith, check out their website, ffaith.org. Make sure that you rate and review this podcast to help more people accomplish their God-given purpose so that together we can finish strong.